We're turning in our Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark and the chapter 15, and we're going to commence our reading at the verse 6. Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, and the verse 6. Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was about the third hour, and they crucified him. We'll end at verse 25, knowing that the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious and inspired word. We're turning back again to Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, and to the verse 22. Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, and the verse 22. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the pathway to the cross. The pathway to the cross. It says here in verse 22, and they bring him unto the place Golgotha. But let's first of all bow before the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord for his help, that we might know his power and blessing in our midst. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we confess our nothingness. our weakness and our helplessness. Lord, nothing in our hand we bring just now. But we look to Thee, O God. Our eyes are toward the Lord. Help us to stand still and to see the salvation, the deliverance of the Lord. We ask our Father tonight that Thou would by Thy Spirit move mightily. Lord, speak to sinners. Awaken them. Disturb them and arouse them. Lord, give them grace to repent of their sin and to call upon Thy name for salvation. Lord, do likewise for backsliders. O God, save and restore tonight. Bless Thy people. Lord, Thy children ought never to get tired of the old, old story. Lord, let it become a refreshing message again this evening. And may our hearts be thrilled as we listen to what we know already about the Lord Jesus and His sufferings on our behalf. So teach us more, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The pathway to the cross. Many may remember Keyhole Kate being the name of a character in children's comics many years ago. And as you might imagine, she was noted for being nosy. And she gleaned most of her information by peeping through the keyholes of the neighbors' houses. It's not an exercise we recommend. Today, however, we use her technique in reverse, because many homes are conscious of their security, and they are equipped with a spy hole which permits the resident inside to view who is at the door. A keyhole or a spy hole may have a very small aperture, but much can be seen through it. And as we think about this, there is a parallel to it in the Bible. Some Bible statements may be very brief, like our text here this evening, but they open up a panorama of truth. They open up a great vision before us. And when Mark wrote, "And they brought him unto the place Golgotha," he gave us just such a keyhole to look through here in verse 22. And to the casual reader, the verse may seem very simplistic. Yet, the more we look into it, we find a mine of truth starts to open up before us. Such a depth of meaning and height of truth are found here in these particular words. Earth had never witnessed a scene like it before. Never had so many ever poured such hate and such contempt on one who was so innocent. The world never saw a scene like this, which follows this statement, ever before. The people hounded Christ. They went after him like baying dogs, hunting for their chase. In their frenzied hate, they surrounded him. They mocked him and demanded that he be made the victim of the most barbaric death that man could ever conceive, the death of crucifixion. Their hideous and grinning faces spelled out their scorn. Their mockings stated that they were cruel towards him, and even their very words of scorn were hurtful. So detestable was the spectacle that heaven couldn't endure the scene any longer. At high noon, right in the middle of the day, the sun suddenly hid its face, and for 3 hours the wicked crowd groped in the darkness of midnight at midday. The earth convulsed beneath their feet. The rocks were rent. The graves were opened. And an invisible hand rent the veil of the temple from top to bottom. It was a day of infamy, a day of great shame. Yet for all who are believers in Christ, Golgotha is the crossroads for them where time and eternity met. Here heaven met earth, and here God still meets the repenting sinner who comes to Jesus Christ. And I trust that tonight, as the gospel is preached, that you will come to the place called Calvary. And there you will see that Christ died for your sins, rose again from the grave, and has power to save to the uttermost all who come unto God. Calvary, Golgotha, was God's masterpiece. The scene must have been horrific, but the cross was the altar. Christ was the lamb of sacrifice. The blood he shed was the price of our redemption. And we who are sinners are the benefactors of all that was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Mark writes of Calvary. He writes of Calvary not to appeal for pity. That's not his purpose. But he writes of Calvary in order to show men and women the wickedness of their sin and to call them to faith in Jesus Christ. And tonight, this passage calls you, the sinner, to Jesus Christ. It beckons you to the cross. It encourages you to turn your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think of the pathway to the cross, let us think of the path that led to the cross. The path that leads to the cross is worth considering. If you visit Israel and you go to Jerusalem, and the vast majority of visitors there believe that Calvary was at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is Rome. And Rome has dotted the pathway to the cross, to the Holy Sepulchre, by the stations of the cross, 14 of them. And they call it the Via Dolorosa, meaning the way of the cross. It is a false way. It is not the right way, because Jesus Christ was crucified outside the city. He died outside the city wall, and he died on the cross that we might be forgiven. And as we think of the pathway to the cross, let us consider the commencement of this pathway. On the Isle of Patmos, the Apostle John learned, as we read in Revelation 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. There is the commencement of the pathway to the cross. Calvary was no accident of history. It was no invention of the devil, nor was it an afterthought of God. But rather, in the plan of God's eternal counsel, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent forth for this very hour. For this purpose, he came into the world. Golgotha, Calvary, was by divine appointment from all eternity, planned away back in the council chambers of eternity, reading in Acts the sermon of the Apostle Peter. It says, "For him," that is Christ, "being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." There is an explanation of the commencement of the pathway to the cross. It started in the mind of God, in the council chambers of eternity. It was determined beforehand. Then we have the course of the pathway, when Moses and Elijah, you will remember, met with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, the subject of which they spoke was of Christ's death. That was the topic of their conversation. Christ's death is the great theme of the ages, the great theme of the Bible, the great theme of Old and New Testaments. It was first taught to our first parents before they left the Garden of Eden, when their shame was covered by the sacrifice of animals. Animals were slain, and the Lord took their skins, and he made aprons to cover their nakedness, to cover their shame. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ shedding his precious blood and providing a covering of righteousness for sinners, that we might be forgiven and become acceptable in the sight of God. Oh, what a provision! What a salvation! Oh, the course of this pathway. Abel also learned about the death of the sacrificial lamb in his own day, recognizing that without the shedding of blood, there was no remission for sin. Further on, Noah and Abraham, even the Passover and the time of the tabernacle, yes, the cross threw its shadow over every age and every page of history. The cross overshadows all the ages down the centuries. The commencement of the pathway, the course of that pathway, is traced down through Scripture. What about the cruelty of the pathway? Mark wrote here in verse 15, "And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified." Never before had there been such a display of human guilt. Never before had there been such a manifestation of divine grace. Consider the scourging for a moment. Roman scourging was a terrible torture received and reserved for the worst of criminals. And the Savior's hands, we are told, were tied behind his back. And he was tied to a block, we understand, which forced his back upwards. The whip, then, was a long leather tongue studded with sharp pieces of bone, and 39 lashes were then laid and applied to the back of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every lash, every whip load, shredded the flesh and rendered the body to raw bleeding pulp. The cruelty of the pathway. Oh yes, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered it on account of our sin, that you and I might go free, and that the punishment due to us for our sin might be passed over. For Christ took it as he was led to the cross and died upon the tree. The cruelty of this pathway. The Savior, the Bible tells us, gave his back to the smiters. He gave his back to the smiters. That ties in with what we've been saying. How they lashed him and whipped him. Think not just of the scourging, but of the stripping. Having survived the scourging, Roman soldiers thought nothing of mocking a Jew. They mocked him. They laughed him to scorn because he claimed to be a king. They stripped him of his clothing, and they robed him in purple, and they also crowned him with a plaited crown of thorns. He was worthy of diadems. He was worthy of a better crown, but they took the thorns and they placed it upon his head, representing the thorns of our sin, which pierced him and caused him to bleed. Oh friend, we can see the pathway to the cross. How terrible, how cruel. As we reflect on the smiting, they took rods and they beat him, undoubtedly puncturing the brow with sharp thorns which pierced through. They beat him. They plucked the hair from his face. He knew the name of every soldier. He saw them. He looked into their heart. And for some of those soldiers, at least, we know from the sermons of Peter in the early chapters of the book of Acts, for some of those soldiers who whipped him, who scourged him, who planted the crown of thorns upon him, very soon the Lord Jesus Christ was bearing their sin upon the cross. For some of those who were there were saved on the day of Pentecost and were gloriously converted and brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, the vilest sinner, the hardest sinner. Thank God, the most unlikely sinner can be saved. And praise God, there's hope tonight. And there's hope for you. If only you'll repent of your sin and come as a sinner to Christ. We may blush at all of this, even the very spitting. Having crowned him robed him. There was no oil to anoint him, having plaited the crown of thorns. But instead of oil, these mocking soldiers displayed their own depravity, as Matthew Henry states, they emptied their throats and spat upon him. Oh, what shame, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Is he your Savior tonight? Do you know him? All his sufferings was not designed to arouse pity, but it was done to save a sinner like you. John Bunyan wrote in his Pilgrim's Progress how Christian, on his way to the celestial city, focused his gaze on the cross. And as he did so, he felt the burden that he carried upon his back beginning to loosen and then to fall off his back. It rolled down the hill, he tells us, and it disappeared into an empty tomb. The burden symbolizes all the guilt and his fears of the coming judgment. And was then that Christian cried out, O blessed cross! Yea, rather, blessed be the man who there was put to shame for me. Can you see it? As Christian focused upon the cross, as he was led along the pathway to that cross, he was led to cry out, O blessed cross, yea, brother, blessed be the man who was put to shame, put to death for me there. Thank God, acknowledged his sin, acknowledged Christ, and his sins were forgiven as he received salvation. And then there is the climax of the pathway to the cross. Jesus said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Read about that in John's Gospel, chapter 12. He spoke of being crucified as being equal to being glorified. This was the way our Lord had to come. This was the pathway of the cross. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And the climax of it all is that he is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ's alive. He rose from the dead. He ascended on high. He's in the glory. He's our great high priest. He's our mediator. He intercedes for God's people. And thank God tonight, he is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto him. And the question is simple. Will you now come? Will you accept him? Will you repent of your sin, turn to Christ, and trust him as your Savior and your Lord? Remember the pathway to the cross, the shame, the scoffing, the rudeness by which he was treated. He endured it all for us, so that we might go at last to heaven, redeemed and saved by his precious blood. Let's bow together in prayer. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, Thy Son, who came all that journey from heaven to this world. And as He came into the world, we thank Thee He turned not back from going to the cross. And we bless Thee that He bore the full brunt of the wrath of God and suffered in our place. We rejoice that He died that we might be forgiven, that we might go at last to heaven, washed in His precious blood. O God, bless Thy truth. Back it home to hearts. Bring the ungodly to Christ. Turn them from darkness into light. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified, not only in the preaching of the gospel, but in the salvation of precious souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close our meeting with a hymn, and I'll have it for you just in a moment. It's number 293. 293. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There is no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Let's stand as we sing these three verses together. Standing as we close our meeting in prayer. And just before we do that, I want to say that if there's anyone present this evening and God has spoken to you, maybe has been dealing with you over a period of time. Sinner or backslider, we invite you to stay behind as others leave, and we'll take the opportunity to talk with you and show you from the Scriptures how you can become God's child. This is an urgent matter, and we plead with you not to put it off, but to stay, settle it before the Lord, become a child of His. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that the way of the cross leads home. And we ask, Lord, tonight that men and women's eyes will be opened, and young people's hearts will be touched, and that they will be brought to the cross, repenting of their sin and crying out for mercy. Lord, hear our prayer, bless Thy word and this people, and part us with Thy blessing. Take us home in safety, and abide with us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.